Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, December 5th. The Delta County Commissioners put to rest an issue that was under debate for months. At their regular meeting yesterday at the Delta County Courthouse, the commissioners voted unanimously to deny Paonia Holdings LLC application for a land use change at the Old Bowie Loadout on Highway 133 outside of Paonia. The land is currently owned by Bowie Resources, and since the late 1970s served as a coal loadout site with coal mining-related support activities for the mine. The mine stopped using the loadout around 2003. Since then, cleanup work on the property by the Colorado Division of Reclamation has been ongoing. Mark Levin of Paonia Holdings wanted to buy the property for a multi-purpose mining equipment repair shop. To do so, Levin needed a land use change on the parcels, along with ancillary properties located at Stevens Gulch. All three commissioners voted against the land use change. Commissioner Mark Rober agreed with Delta County staff officials and with the Delta County Planning Commission, who said the plan failed to meet certain specific development regulations. Commissioner Don Supas said his main concern with the plan was that it didn't adequately protect the Farmer's Mine ditch, which he called a vital asset to the North Fork Valley economy. The commissioners denied the application by a 3-0 vote, following the recommendation to deny by both the staff and the Planning Commission. Between the Planning Commission meeting and the Board of Commissioners' public hearing on the issue, 64 citizens spoke on the record against the proposal, while 3 citizens spoke in favor of it. The commissioners made their decision amid a smattering of applause in the full meeting room of the courthouse. Neither Levin nor his attorney was on hand to hear the decision. Governor John Hickenlooper is leading a group of 7 western states that hopes to set up a battery recharging network for vehicles. He hopes to have a recharging station for every 50 miles of interstate highway. From Inside Energy, Dan Boyce reports that the effort is made to combat a phenomenon known as range anxiety.
22-year-old Clarissa Guy is a PBS production assistant in Denver. Driving to work, she usually borrows her dad's sky blue 2012 Nissan Leaf, a fully electric car.
My friends have called it the spaceship before.
Today, though, the spaceship's battery is about dead. Her dash shows that same low fuel light we all recognize, the little gas pump, except on the end of the pump's hose is an electric plug, and next to it is a ticker counting down from 7.
If you drove 7 more miles, it would die.
Yes, but I've gone much further, I think. It depends on how you drive.
It's not like she's worried. Her family's house is pretty close by, and they charge there.
Yeah.
For the most part, that's the only place they charge. While they use the Nissan for commuting and driving around town, they also have a gas-powered van.
And we use that whenever we need to go to the mountains, like very far, take road trips to Texas or wherever we're going.
Because in 2017, driving electric cars on road trips is still a hassle, especially in the West, where populations are sparse and highways are long. People on the fence about getting an EV because of this, that's where this term range anxiety comes from. Sam Ori is executive director of the University of Chicago's Energy Policy Institute.
The whole network of user experience issues are something that continue to somewhat inhibit adoption, widespread adoption of electric vehicles.
The industry is trying to change this with faster chargers and more of them. Tesla announced plans for more charging stations at Hilton hotels earlier this fall. Royal Dutch Shell, yes, the oil company, they say they're installing chargers at their gas stations in the UK. In the American West, it's state government stepping in.
They're going to start out at every 50 miles.
That's Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper talking about a new plan to put charging stations along interstate highways in 7 western states from Montana down to Nevada.
So that people, no matter where they're driving, can feel pretty comfortable that they're not going to run out of fuel, as it were.
Hickenlooper says officials hope to have this western charging network up and running in 3 to 5 years. While, of course, more chargers will help allay drivers' range anxiety over time, Sam Ori with the University of Chicago says it's not the biggest factor holding back EV sales.
The missing piece continues to be policy.
Even if you had chargers all over the place, gasoline vehicles are still just a better financial deal, especially with oil prices where they are now. Incentives already exist for buying electric cars in many states, yet Ori says without serious policy penalizing carbon emissions, like with higher gas taxes, without that, EVs will remain at a disadvantage for a long time. Until then.
There's a market out there for people who don't care as much about whether or not they break even over the life of the vehicle.
Like production assistant Clarissa Guy. She describes herself as committed to climate change action.
I refuse to buy a car unless it's electric, so I'm saving my money.
Seeing as she's just starting her career, she might be saving for quite a while. Maybe by the time she's ready to buy, she can celebrate with a Western road trip. For Inside Energy, I'm Dan Boyce.
A story we've covered on the KVNF regional newscast over the past month has reached a predictable conclusion. Last month, a lawsuit was filed in federal court on behalf of the Colorado River. Certain environmental groups were suing to have the river named an individual person, granted the rights and protections that individuals enjoy. Last week, the lead attorney in the case was threatened with sanctions. And yesterday, the case was dismissed. H2O Radio's Jamie Sudler has more.
Members of Deep Green Resistance filed the action through attorney Jason Flores-Williams in September. The plaintiffs urged the court to declare that the Colorado River ecosystem should have legally recognized rights as if it were a person, similar to the way corporations are treated. But on Sunday, December 3rd, Flores-Williams filed a motion to dismiss the case after he had been threatened with sanctions by Colorado Attorney General Cynthia Kaufman, who represented the governor in the state of Colorado. In addition to threatening the attorney with sanctions, the AG filed another motion to dismiss the case. A federal magistrate entered an order dismissing it a day after Flores-Williams made the request. Flores-Williams told H2O Radio that he had hoped the attorney general would see the case as a pragmatic attempt to deal with the extinction of a river, but he said the AG's response to the complaint was so vitriolic and disproportionate that he realized that was not going to happen. He added that the courts just aren't ready to handle the movement for the rights of nature, and that what happens outside the courthouse and on the streets is now more important than what happens inside. The first of its kind lawsuit in federal court on behalf of the river is now over. In Denver for H2 Radio, I'm Jamie Sudler.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.